side adventures, and welcome to the Audio Armory, an exploration of weaponry through the ages. I am your local bard, Emily Cardamus.
And I'm your local blacksmith, Liz Belts.
I felt like I didn't hit weaponry very good, but we're going to keep going anyway. This is the intro. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Emily.
How are you?
I am alive. How are you?
I'm great. You know what? I'm doing okay. It's summer. It's hot. Well, it hasn't been that hot, but it's summer, and typically summers are hot. Anyway.
I wouldn't know. I haven't been around lately.
Well, it's true. Well, you've been in another warm place.
You were
on island time, as we say.
I was an island boy for 2 weeks.
You were island boy. Liz left and became island boy, and then she returned. Are you still on that? How is that island time? You still on that island time? Have you kept any of it with you?
Once you go island time, you never go back.
Oh, that's the life, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of things that are hot, what are we talking about today, Liz?
Well, we're talking about steel today. Not, you know, kind of what becomes of steel, but also why there are different steels that exist and what we use them for. Because in the past, we've kind of briefly went over carbon steel, and there was a bit of uncertainty on our end about why it was used, like what its purpose was. We kind of had some general, well-educated guesses now that I know. But I want to be sure that I clarify for everybody out there in case they're just like, but I want to know like the real facts and stuff. So like,
hashtag facts.
So today on Audio Armory, it's hashtag facts.
Don't say no. I hate that. That's bad, and I hate that. Don't say no.
It's already there. It exists. I'm sorry.
It's bad, and I'm gonna retcon it on hashtag facts.
So a lot of us probably know that there's more than one type of steel that exists. But there are thousands upon thousands of different potential combinations of steel. So I figured that it would be easier if we just covered the most commonly used combinations and their general purposes.
Now here's the thing. At the base, steel is a combination of two other metals. It's a combination of other metals.
Yeah,
because so I think it's that's always, that was the thing that always confused me as a kid. That was like, here's copper, and here's tin, and here's steel. And I'm like, what's steel? And they're like, well, it's other shit. And I'm like, oh, no, I swore.
It's other bleep. Child Emily, how could you?
I don't know why I did that voice either. But,
but yeah, no, steel is typically iron combined with more carbon for strength and a variety of different things for different purposes.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we have most popularly we have four different types of steels. We have carbon steels, stainless, alloy, and tool steel. Each one serving a specific purpose because they all have unique properties.
Right.
Starting with carbon steel, we can basically break it down into three categories based off of how much carbon exists in it. So low carbon steel is most commonly used, comes in a variety of shapes from small rods. You can get like Home Depot or Lowe's or whatever your hardware store is,
mm-hmm.
To huge structural I-beams.
Okay.
Depending on its intended purpose, though, elements in the steel are increased or decreased. So for example, if we have pieces that need a lot of flexibility, they don't have as much carbon in them. The carbon is basically what gives it its strength.
Mm. But that makes sense for something like an I-beam, because if you're building with it, you know, and something happens to the building, like it needs to be able to support, but also be a little bit flexible.
Yeah, to give for the wind and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Mm-hmm.
But for things that need to be softer, like perhaps, let's say a trash can, like a nice, like your oldie day trash cans.
Okay.
That were actually, I'm looking over at my Garfield trash can right now, which is why I'm saying that.
Okay. I would have always thought those were tin.
Some are actually a kind of steel. Huh. Mine is because it's rusty on the inside.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason why I know this. But these kinds of steels are alloyed with aluminum, which makes it soft enough that you can mold it into whatever shape you need to, and it's not brittle. It won't crack and break on you.
Right.
But for things that need to be a little bit more sturdier, we have what's called medium carbon steel. It's a little bit stronger, more difficult to weld, form, and cut, but it allows it to be an ideal shape, but still be formed.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's under any sort of pressure, it won't break. It'll have just enough give that when some sort of pressure is put onto it, it'll bounce back.
Okay, so would this be the ideal sort of steel that you would forge with? Because it's something that you could form without it breaking?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, for myself right now, it's more ideal to like have some... Ideally, you want to have somewhere between a medium and high carbon.
Okay.
But to go like really high carbon makes it impossible to work with without like a power hammer.
Mm.
If you're forging by hand, unless you have a lot of force behind each pound, you're not going to get very far very fast.
Yeah, all you're going to do is heat up a block of steel and then do nothing to it.
Yeah, or just like, congratulations, it's maybe moved like a speck. Like, I can't even call this a millimeter.
Mm.
It is just a speck.
So what would you use high carbon steel for then? What is it practically used for?
Practically, it's used for when you need to keep an edge that I'm aware of. So, like, when we covered Japanese weaponry, when we covered katanas and how they had different layering, and German and several countries used this method where they had the different types of carbon steel.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, along the spine would have the softer low carbon steel. So it would give that flexibility. It would bend and move when it was hit. But the edge of the blade would be something that was high carbon so that the edge wouldn't fade fast because it's obviously harder, and would just be sharper for a longer period of time.
Well, and so, I imagine that it'd be easier to build it that way because it's like you can do your forming, you can do the really labor intensive stuff with the low carbon, which will make up the body of the sword, and then for just the small, like the edge part of the sword, I mean, it's still obviously probably very difficult to form the high carbon, but it's not like you're making the whole sword out of high carbon steel, which would probably be like 100 times more difficult.
Yeah, and at that point it's easier to grind that steel than it would be to form it into a shape, especially
right.
if you're doing it by hand. So that's kind of where it plays its role. But modern day, I'm not exactly sure what high carbon steel is used for on average. I would assume they're still used in some forms of cutlery, but
I was going to say maybe like power tools or something. That feels like something I've read on like a power tool like description or something.
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you say that because that's actually known as tool steel.
Oh, okay. So I'm skipping ahead. But I do want to make the comment that I feel like carbon steel to me sounds like beef. And stick with me on this one. But low carbon steel is like your ground chuck, like what you'd make a hamburger out of. And then like your medium carbon steel is like a New York strip steak or something. Something that is like, it's beef and it's good, but it's like kind of like, it still has a lot of fat in it. And you could probably at me, like, actually don't at me, screw off. I hate New York. I hate New York strip steak because why you have all that fat in it? You can't eat it. And someone's like, well, the fat makes it expensive. Shut up. It's inedible. I hate it.
Emily. I'm sorry that we have to disagree on such a
thing.
You're
okay, whatever. I'm gonna, whatever. I don't care. But then, like, your high carbon steel is basically like your filet mignons, where it's like, it is just like, here's the beef. It's all of it.
It's all beef.
It's all beef, and it's good.
Do not take that out of context.
All swords are beef.
And no, all swords are beef. Moving on! So, before we jump the gun and I talk about tool steel, I want to cover stainless steel real quick, which I'm sure everybody has in their house. If not, then you have no utensils. You consume food off the
floor. Or you only have plastic utensils, in which case it's okay, I've been there too.
But it's actually, stainless steel is actually a relatively new concept, which sounds weird, but allow me to explain. Because this rustless steel was discovered in 1913 by a Mr. Harry Brearley. Mr. Harry Beard.
That's what we're going to call him.
Yeah, because it's easier. That's not actually his name, so I'm sorry. Like, I butchered your
he's
name,
dead.
My dude. Yeah, he is. Well, but I'm sorry,
is he?
My dude. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he'd be very old if he was still alive.
Okay,
I don't think...
okay, yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, he would be over 100, like well over 100.
Maybe that stainless steel also hold the secret to eternal life.
Yeah.
It didn't.
No.
But maybe it did.
In this world, it can. But our Mr. Beardley actually developed this and strangely just kind of stumbled upon it when he was trying to come up with something, with a tool that wouldn't rust over time, because I imagine this is how it played out. He was probably sitting there enjoying a nice filet mignon, because New York strip steak is apparently the worst.
It is.
And he was just like, oh, my knife is rusty, and so is my fork. This is dumb. Now I have to go clean this up before I can even enjoy my good food. And by then, my food's going to be cold. So what's the point of this?
What's the point of eating?
What's the point of food? And that's how he started to eat potatoes for the rest of his life. Aww. Until he discovered this rustless steel.
What was he eating the potatoes with, if not with
his
utensil-
face?
Okay.
The whole thing. He just went.
Oh, okay. Ah. Just eating potatoes raw. Gotcha.
Yeah. Delicious. Items such as hardware, cutlery, medical instruments, and so much more are now easy to keep clean and functional thanks to his alloy discovery.
And if you order now, you'll get a bonus. Rustless steel!
Whoa,
for five payments
whoa.
In 1999.
Plus tax and shipping.
Shipping and handling.
And the fee for existing.
Yeah.
And I want a cookie. Ship me a cookie.
You have to include that in your price. If you don't put a cookie in with your check, I won't ship you your utensils that you're
exactly.
buying.
Exactly. The cookie has to be there and it has to be fresh or I will be thoroughly upset.
1930s QVC.
Now, what is this magical stainless steel made out of?
I don't know.
I didn't think so. No one knows. It's a mystery. That's it.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Goodbye. It's actually composed of chromium, nickel, or an alloy known as molybdenum.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. I practiced that one a little bit.
That sounds like a person's name.
Yeah. It's like molybdenum. I mean, that's kind of weird that your last name is.
Maybe she invented denim.
These different metals give steel its rustless property. Now, because of the different varieties, some people actually have an allergic reaction to some stainless steels. This is because if there is nickel in it, and if you're like myself and are very allergic to nickel, it's something that you can still have a physical reaction to, even though it's supposed to be steel.
Is that like when you, like fake jewelry, not fake jewelry, but like a lot of
costume.
Old costume jewelry is made out of that, and then it like will turn your skin green if you're allergic to it.
Yeah, or like if you're me and when I was in college and I used to cut nickel sheet, I broke out like crazy, but still continued to use it because it was affordable.
Yeah, You come back and you'd be like, my hands are completely effed. And it's like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Because I can't afford to do anything else.
Because this is what life is.
Exactly. But it's weird because nickel can be found, strangely, in a lot of things. So you have to be... It's one of those things...
Ironically, not in nickels.
Yeah, what's up with that? No, we're going on a tangent. Like, why is it called nickel if you don't have nickel in it?
It was originally nickel.
But why not now?
Because it's too expensive.
So what is it?
I don't remember. It's some weird mix
it's
of like
trash. That's what it is.
Well, yeah, but
it's pot metal like everything else anymore. You dang kids and your ruining of the I don't know where I was going with that.
Did you call it pot metal?
It's pot metal, POT.
Like weed metal.
Smoke a doobie metal. Hitting up on that.
Stop it. You don't know anything about drugs. Stop.
You don't either. So yeah,
that's
don't
true,
you dare
but that's
stop.
True. That's absolutely true, but I at least don't like pretend.
Another kind of steel that we have is alloy steel. Now, this
I know that that's the character from Horizon Zero Dawn. That's a video game joke, everybody. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
There's your plus one.
Thanks.
Emily. One, Liz, yeah. Zero. But as stated in its name, these steels are combined with another element, giving it unique properties. Now, alloy steel is basically all steel, because steel is an alloy, which doesn't make sense. Oh, but yeah. I was like, okay, well, sure.
I would have assumed it was steel mixed with something else, but... Is that super alloy steel?
Maybe it's, like, steel squared, like it's extra alloyed. It's just like, it's like when you go to Jamba Juice, mm-hmm. and you're like, do you want a booster today? I'm like, yeah, I would like my steel boosted.
Yeah.
I want it to be alloy steel.
Boost
thank
my
you.
Steel.
Boost it. So what does this boost consist of? Most commonly, we have manganese, silicon, again, nickel, titanium, copper, chromium, and aluminum. But each alloy does something different for the steel. Nickel, manganese, and titanium are commonly used to strengthen it. Again, giving it that kind of strength that like a carbon steel would have, but without the brittleness.
Mm-hmm.
Silicone, copper, and aluminum are used to soften the steel so you can make it malleable to form all kinds of different crazy shapes. And then chromium is used mostly for its rustless properties. Hence the stainless steel. Chromium is obviously one of the most commonly used alloys for it.
So stainless steel, is stainless steel also alloy steel?
Yes, okay. Sort of.
Okay. Or it's a type of alloy steel.
It's a type, okay. But it's such a commonly used thing
that
it's
gets
like,
its own category. It's like squares and rectangles. Every square is a rectangle, but not all rectangles are squares. All stainless steel is alloy steel, but not all alloy steel is stainless.
Yeah.
Man, say that five times fast.
Please don't, because it's just going to be like, hey,
yeah, it's too much.
But lastly, kind of covering back where we were before, we have tool steel. This steel is, it says it in the name.
It's used for tools.
Yes, it's extremely hard, especially when heat treated. It's resistant to cuts, scuffs, and very general surface damages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, like, if you, you know, chuck it off of the Grand Canyon at a steel block, it's not gonna explode. Like, I mean, that's it. It's done.
Is it gonna explode?
I mean, it'll probably chip. I don't think it'll just be like, Michael Bay films, boom!
Yeah, that's
boom,
what you were kind of suggesting for a second.
Well, you know what? No, maybe it does. Has anybody tried it? Has anybody gone to the Grand Canyon?
Well, and you know what? This is why, like, to get serious for a second, like, I would assume that this is why, like, when you have issues of, like, drill bits breaking, like, they can withstand a lot of heat and a lot of friction, but eventually they're gonna give.
Yes. And that can be because, one, it gets too hot and the bit loses its temper, this heat treatment, so it becomes soft
angry.
And like, yeah, it gets angry, and so it decides to snap. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's either a cause or there's a flaw in how it was formed. Sometimes, especially if you're doing a mold, bubbles can appear that are microscopic, or if it's taken a lot of abuse over time, no matter how hard it is, hairline fractures will start to occur. And as you continue to use it, cracks will form, and eventually it'll chip, break, what have you. And that goes generally with everything that exists. No matter how hard it is, all you have to do is just get one little flaw in it, and that's it for it. Game over. Though it's harder to shape these kinds of steels, they are ideal for stamps, dies, anything you use to cut, like saw blades, hammers, and primarily this steel is used for modern hunting knives. I've worked with tool steel once. It was a softer version. The carbon content was a little lower. So this is another one of those squares, rectangles things.
I was going to say,
tool steel is carbon steel, but
not all carbon steel is tool steel.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So the tool steel as a knife primarily is middle to high grade, as I mentioned previously. Mainly because you still want to be able to form it. That being said, if you're working on it before you heat treat it, it's going to be much easier to work with. Once it's treated, however, if you try to take a hammer to it without heating it up, you're gonna get nothing except a hammer to your face.
Yeah, he was gonna say you're gonna break your hammer.
Yeah, it's just gonna bounce back and it's gonna hit you right in the face and it's not gonna sound good. And you're like, oh, that's a bad ear sound. I've been there and done that.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was just one of those things where they're like, go ahead, try it, see what it sounds like. I was like, ugh!
It's bad.
It's terrible. Why? Before you heat treat it, it's difficult, yes, but doable. And then depending on its purpose, you have different heat treatments. Commonly, for knives, the standard heat treatment is you get the steel red hot. So say I want to harden a knife. I have it formed. I actually have sanded it down to kind of where I want it to be, so it's like a nice finish. And I start the first heat treatment. I get it red hot, like a nice cherry red. And then you can either let it cool by submerging it into sand, or there's a type of material that you can use that's like a better insulator than sand is. It keeps the heat a little longer.
Oh, okay.
But it's basically to allow the steel to cool at a slow pace and slowly harden itself.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of like the first step. And then you clean it up, you go through the whole polishing thing again, and you heat treat it a second time. The second time around, you heat only the spine of what you're working on, because you want it to get, you ideally want the whole thing to be a straw color, like a nice kind of golden color, which is why you take a small torch and you just slowly do it. Because once it goes past that point, you've already messed up the temper and you gotta start over. You have to like backtrack to getting it cherry red again.
Can you like over temper a blade?
Yes. So say you go beyond the straw color and you actually enter the purple color.
Okay.
Which is like a more intense heat.
Yeah.
It's not gonna hold its edge. It might be a little bit more on the brittle side. It's still going to be magnetic, which ideally you don't want your metal to be magnetic at that point.
Oh.
You want to kind of like have it lose that when you're doing the treatment. Like that's how you know that it's been tempered.
Oh, okay. Oh.
When you're heating it, it's like a nice quick test, like a cheat thing if you're not good at reading the color.
Yeah. Oh, I never thought about that. That's cool.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where... it's hot. Yeah. No. It's these little things that kind of over the years, like, it's not terrible, but it's how you make a good long-lasting blade.
Okay.
Is to be as nitpicky as you can color-wise with the temperature of the steel.
No, we've talked before about, and this might be going off track, so maybe this will be like a little thing, and then we can maybe do this in a different episode, but we've talked before about, sure, like treatments on blades that make them different colors, and usually that's like a chemical reaction or a mineral reaction, like something like that. And we've talked about like that blue color, which again would come off eventually because it was just on the surface, and so like unsheathing and sheathing that blade, it would start to wear that blue off.
Yes.
I've seen knives, and like I've seen it as like hunting knives or whatever before, where the blade is like iridescent. Is that a heat thing? Is that another chemical treatment, or what is that?
So it kind of depends. Some blades have a surface treatment where they just layered a chemical on it and then just did a quick, like, brush with a torch, and it gives it this kind of rainbow effect.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've seen.
Yeah. But commonly, it's actually not steel at all.
Oh.
It's titanium.
Oh.
Titanium blades, when heated, it doesn't affect the durability of it because, oh my god, like, I've worked with it before, and it is the most difficult type of metal I have ever worked with in my life.
Is it just very stiff and not like very, like, not malleable?
Yes.
Okay.
It's extremely hard to cut. I mean, I used a big angle grinder on the thinnest piece of titanium ever.
Yeah.
And it still took me an hour to cut out just a simple throwing knife.
Jeez. I remember that now.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
what
that is.
That was when we were in college, and you had this, like, tiny, tiny piece of titanium, and finally you came back one day, and you were like, I did it.
It's done, and it's sharp. Which, titanium is great for that purpose. It's extremely hard,
mm-hmm,
and it's rustless, so that's another good property for it.
Mm.
But visually, you can get a whole rainbow of colors. You can have the brightest, most potent colors possible. And they're harder to get rid of than if you had a treatment on steel.
Oh, okay.
Is it still removable? Of course. Friction is the devil at work at this point.
Yeah.
But will it last a lot longer? You bet. Mainly because the material itself is just so dang hard.
Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of depends. Like, if you're going to, if you go to the mall and you see that one weird shop that has, like, your anime weapons, and they're like, oh, hey, yeah, we sell knives here, and they're the pretty, you know, rainbow iridescent ones,
mm-hmm,
chances are it's just, like, a surface thing, and it's steel. You're not going to get a titanium blade unless you shell out boku bucks.
Okay.
Because that's titanium in itself, though it's a fantastic material, is extremely hard to work with, and is extremely expensive as a result.
Right, because
It's hard to come by and it's hard to work
with.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
that makes
a
sense.
Blessing and a curse.
That was a really good overview on steel and titanium right at the end a little bit, because I asked a random question.
Yeah, we'll hit the bases. Yeah. Cover everything generally.
So to like overview, we had... I forgot the first one. I almost called it copper steel. It's not copper steel. It's
carbon
steel, alloy steel, stainless steel, and tool steel.
Yes.
Awesome.
Dang.
Do you have a blacksmith's tip of the week for us?
I do. My tip of the week for everybody is, and I know that this has probably come up before, but I want to push it because it's been a prevalent issue. Communication. If you have a problem with somebody or something, like whatever it might be, I know you're laughing and it's just like, you know exactly what I'm talking
about. Yeah, sorry, I know where you're going with this.
But luckily, like, once you communicate, it doesn't matter if they're happy about it or not. Like, you expressed it, It's out there, mm-hmm. and it can potentially get fixed now. Mm-hmm. If not, I like, you know what's going on. Everybody knows what's happening. Great. Like, at least it's out there, and somehow, one way or another, it will be resolved.
It's better than no one knowing, and then everyone just gets angry, and then no one knows why everyone's getting angry.
Everybody's angry.
And then everybody's angry, and that doesn't solve anything.
And no one knows why.
It's a mystery.
But, yes, if you, like, right now, if I know you're probably, listeners out there are probably thinking, it's like, yeah, I'm pretty frustrated about this thing, and I kind of want to know more. It's like, talk about it. Something's, or even if something's bothering you personally, like, it's not a specific person, maybe you're just going through a hard time right now. Like, maybe the world hasn't been the kindest to you. Talk to somebody about it. Because chances are, you know, family or friends aren't aware. I mean, we're all good at wearing our masks, but if you can talk to somebody about it, not only will you feel a lot better, but they might be able to help you out. Whether that actually be giving you advice or just being an ear to listen.
Also, professionally, it's a good skill to have.
Yeah.
And one that's hard to come by. So it'll help you in both worlds, your personal and your professional. And that's an Audio Armory guarantee. Ding.
Ding.
Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked the show, why not tell someone about it? We don't advertise the show. We don't pay to advertise. So telling word of mouth is how new people find the show. That's a word. I'd like to thank Samantha Hogan for the use of our intro and outro music. You can find her work at SamanthaHogan.com, and you can find her on Twitter at @SHogan_composer. You can find us on Twitter. The show is at Audio Armory Cast. I am at Corrupted Gem, and Liz is at Liz Belts. That's Liz with two Z's. You can email us for comments, topic suggestions, anything like that. That's audioarmorycast@gmail.com. And we're on iTunes, so you can rate, review, subscribe, all that junk. People seem to say it helps. I don't know how, but if it helps, we greatly appreciate it. So until next time, I have been and always will be your illustrious bard, Emily Cardamus.
And I will forever and always be your local blacksmith, Liz Belts.
And don't throw rocks at birds.
Don't you throw rocks at birds.
Steel is a meat.